of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. The Sounders won 4-0 over Pumas in what was a pretty dominating match. Almost perfect. In fact, I think a lot of people left a little very paw-inspired. What do you think, Cameron? Our Alliance Council President, Guerrilla FC President, and Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council. And I'm Aaron.
Frowny Kitty.
Frowny Kitty.
Did you see the tweet that the Sounders sent out with the Frowny Kitty logo? Man, what a weird team to have a rivalry with. I was not expecting us to have a rivalry with the team from Mexico, but here we are.
We're that good. The match was that good. Very entertaining.
Yeah.
There are times I'm yelling at the TV, at the ref a little bit. Although I think the ref did overall a pretty good job, but I think a yellow could have come out about one play earlier. But that's kind of what kick-started, I feel like, the... I don't know. It's not like they haven't been... The Sounders have not been playing very tough this season. And when when Christian Roldan got up after being kicked and got in that dude's face... I wrote this down. He looks like... That guy looked like Scarlett Jo Ruvalcaba. He looked like Scarlett Johansson. Ruvalcaba looked like Scarlett... Go back and look. He had that kind of that face. Anyway, he was a pain in the ass. There's that sideshow Russell Brand, Huerta character. Didn't he look like Sideshow Bob and Russell Brand?
One of the best players in... CONCACAF right now.
Yeah, I was distracted though by my comparison. Anyway, once I think that happened, it was clear actually from kickoff the kind of game that Pumas is going to try to play.
Throw us off. But you're right, that is not just a game defining moment. That may be a season defining moment for the Sounders.
Yeah.
Ooh. LaCroix time. Where's your beer?
Here's my beer right here. Rainier. Not going back to that BC, whatever the hell that was. Although I was at the store today and saw the Nasty Beast Hard Tea. So I do remember seeing the tea thing, and we found out what I was drinking was a seltzer. But it was not overall not going to reap.
Did it keep you awake? Did it have caffeine?
No, you remember we're not allowed to have that. It's illegal now. Tim clarified in the Discord.
I thought maybe they would have given it to you though. Special.
To me, okay,
because you're you,
of course. I'm happy with my Rainier. I'm happy with the Sounders. I had hope for a turnaround in the season, but we are playing some pretty dominant. Our record shows that we're playing pretty consistently dominating soccer, but I don't think the performances have been consistently dominating. Mm-hmm. The results have been. Mm-hmm. Multiple goals in a lot of games, a few shutouts, but this one felt like we had the whole game in hand. We never let the opponent dictate the match. They played well for a good stretch. They had a sitter they missed. They missed by a whisker.
That should score for sure.
By a whisker, they missed it. Huh? Yeah? Okay.
But we're talking about this game. We're talking, let's take a step back to what you were just saying. This was a chance for the Sounders to write the season. That's what you wanted to see. You wanted to see the Sounders come together and right the wrongs. And what we have seen now in two straight matches, one against a league leader in the MLS and one against a league leader in Liga MX, and now Saturday night, we're going to be playing LAFC at home because they just trounced all over San Jose. So another chance to right the wrong that was that 3-0 loss against LAFC, where you said this tournament needs to be a chance to right the season and get the good, like, cohesive players on there. Get them playing well together. And it turns out it wasn't with PDLV, but I think we're there.
You think this, what we rolled out yesterday, was probably our best available right now?
Definitely our best available. You know, I think, well, you could go Fry. Listening to Schmetzer post-match, he was going to go Fry and then changed it, decided to go with Andy because of how well he's been playing.
Andy.
And so he said that if we continue to see the kind of play we've seen from these last two matches with the current lineup that he's been putting out, that that will be the lineup going forward, which means PDLV is not even going to see the field if he's healthy except for as a sub. So could be interesting because you're not going to mess up a good thing, right? We've always ridden hot players.
That's true. And I am excited to talk more about that match, but I think we should get to our scuttlebutt. What's going around? Yes. I do know in our Discord, which link is in the show description, join it so you can join our scuttlebutt. We had three or four good entries. Looks like Trace, got Tim, Dan the Bastard, and Eric 13. I have also an article I want to go over. 22. It was the Under Armour 22 under 22. It's on MLS.com. Mm-hmm. I'll link it in the show. And I want you to guess which two, since you said you haven't seen the article before we got on. I want to guess which two players you think it is, since we play so many.
We have
young
two Sounders in there.
Yeah,
that's two what you're saying. Wow,
we have two.
Okay.
I don't know if I was.
And one more thing, I would like you to do while we're doing this, and I'll keep talking while you do this process and do a little scuttlebutt here. But check your mic and make sure that you're talking through your actual mic and not your computer, just because the sound is a little light for you right now. But we do have MLS news from around the league, where we actually have, of course, the round of 16 going on. Just went final. Club America beat St. Louis 4-2. It was 2-2 just moments ago. Club America got a penalty, and then with 7 minutes of stoppage time, we're able to get a breakaway. One forward on two defenders, got through both of them. The goalie had gotten back, got past him, and just kicked it in. It was a wild scramble, beautiful play to watch. Go watch that highlight. But we now have which eight teams will be through, and we'll talk more about that Sounders match, of course, the 4-0 beatdown of the Pumas. But Philadelphia is through over Cincinnati. Inter Miami has lost. Their reign as champions of Leagues Cup is over. They lost to Columbus 3-2.
Oh, okay.
Mazatlan went through on penalties to Cruz Azul. Colorado beat Toluca 2-1 to go through. New York City's beat Tigres 2-1 to go through. LAFC trounced all over San Jose. That's who we're hosting now. And of course, like I just said, Club America versus St. Louis. So in the final eight, we have six MLS teams and two Liga MX teams.
How about that? Do you recall what it was last year at this point? Or
I don't. I feel like it was more Liga MX, just because even though the final was between two MLS teams, this is the first time I feel like the MLS has been as dominant in this tournament, which makes sense to me because when we play Champions League, it's during our preseason and they're regular season, so they're the teams that are in like good form and we're just starting up. This is them just starting their season, you know, a couple games in or having not started, and we seem to be dominating when they're in preseason mode. So I kind of like that's the case here.
What's the prize money for the League's Cup, do you know?
I do not. I know there was lots of discussion of what it was. And that conversation went around a lot because it was whatever was quoted was incorrect because the league had to deny it. But it was part of the whole discussion around it. So this is just AI generated.
Like
so
the answer says
by Houston, Hudson River Blue. which I don't know what blog this is, but then AI read that and some other articles. It says the winner gets $1.3 million.
Hudson River Blues. So that's NYFC.
Yeah. $1.3 million.
$1.3 million. Hmm. Is that, that doesn't seem like a lot.
Depending on what you do with it. It's not a lot considering how many games you played.
Yeah.
And how much money they're probably losing with empty stadiums.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm just wondering, it's like, how important does this tournament ever become? Like the NBA is trying their version of this, right? The second season now of the NBA Cup. And it's in the middle, not, it's actually in the beginning of the NBA season, but it's, that one's a little weird because it's like interwoven with the NBA schedule, but certain matchups on your NBA schedule are the NBA Cup. But anyway, yeah, League's Cup.
Yeah, like,
I'm starting to really like the League's Cup is where I'm kind of getting at. And I'm wondering, I don't like that there's a competitive imbalance if all things were being equal, like if we were equal clubs, right? Which arguably we are a better league right now. Who knows? We're not. But this League's Cup has 6 MLS teams, 2 MX teams. They don't want to be doing this annually, getting beat down. And like we saw the reaction after Pumas lost the final. Like,
yeah, they're, I mean, I think they do want to be doing MX this regularly. Clubs.
And if they want to be in this League's Cup, they probably don't want to get trapped, or at least not win it every single year. They're probably going to want to have a champion at some point. And if this is in their preseason and they're always going to be kind of on the back foot to start it, it doesn't seem very fair.
I mean, it's a chance for them to get new fans and connect with older fans in the United States they maybe would never be able to play in front of. If you were at that stadium last night, there were a lot of Pumas fans. Yeah. Like, and to the point where, like, after they scored their goal, which was clearly offsides, and they were reviewing it for offsides, they were, like, doing awesome chants and stuff, like they had scored a goal. And I was like, they've just shown the replay. It's clearly offsides. What are you fools doing?
I mean, when that happened, just live, I was surprised that that wasn't just flagged offside. I know that they're, like, for closer. I feel like that needed to be a little bit more close. That was clearly offside. I don't know why you just don't do your job at that point, but.
Yes.
Anyway.
But we're still talking about that game. Let's talk about the questions that come in from our peoples.
From our peoples. Our peoples in the Discord. We'll start with Tim since he's at the top here. He's always a good writer with his questions. So, how does this go? We want transfers and get no transfers because we have McDonald's at home. Turns out we can win with these guys. Is this sustainable? Is it just smoke and mirrors? Do we truly have all we need? Oh, Tim. Do we have McDonald's in the stadium now? Or
no, he means like when you're like, I want to get a Big Mac, and your mom's like, you have Big Mac at home. I'll make you one that's better.
Okay.
You don't know, like every kid I know had that experience, and so it's just like a common thing where anytime you wanted McDonald's, your mom would be like, we have McDonald's at home. I can make that.
Okay, that's what Gen X. Yeah, that never happened. I don't get that phrase, but weird. I get what he means. So, yeah, so what is this good? Is this smoke and mirrors? Do we have the lineup we need to presumably win the MLS Cup, right?
Hmm.
That's what.
Yeah. Or make a deep run.
No, win the MLS Cup.
Do we? That's a good question. What do you think? I'll let you answer first because I know my answer for sure.
Before the season started, we didn't know how it was going to go. It was the same lineup. Nothing new has happened, right? Paul Rothrock obviously has, developed quite nicely. Yes, been a revelation. We weren't going to anticipate that. But we did say that we liked our depth. We liked our lineup. We liked our team. And we historically always, on average, finished second. There's no reason we shouldn't make it to the MLS Cup. And I believe that there's no reason we can't at this point after seeing what we just saw yesterday. Because it didn't seem like we were playing out of, like it was an anomaly. That looked like we just tapped something we finally haven't gotten to, where we were good enough to win matches recently and go on a nice run. But this seems like we tapped into something that's a little bit deeper, a little bit more the whole club kind of connected and fought for that,
yeah,
for that win. And that wasn't come from behind. That wasn't a close match. That was like, we're just going to fucking win this match decisively.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. And I think minus the Nakoxa game.
Yeah. Which I think that was a brain fart. I think that they just...
You had to not lose by four, mm-hmm, in that game. And so we started a subpar lineup. And then there was injuries. Everything would just kind of got messed up.
Yeah.
Real quickly in that one. So, I mean, outside of that game, I think we've seen a solid lineup. And this is what I remember I was saying, I think it was the episode before last, that I'm putting Rothrock on the right in my ideal lineup and that we need him on the field. And now we've seen three out of the last four games. When you do that, you're successful. And I think, so I think, yeah, I think we have it. I don't think this matchup against LAFC is going to be big for a couple of reasons. One, they clearly want to win the tournament as well. They went all in against San Jose. They didn't just play backups and try to get through. They demolished them, I think, 4-1 final in that one. And so I think they're ready. I mean, they're ready to try and play. And so if we can show up on the field and play like we did this last match, then I think that LAFC game, we don't need to win, but we need to keep it close and make a game of it. I think we may have what we need. Now, De La Vega adds an interesting thing where I think you still have to fit him into the mix. How that happens can be different, though, when you know you have a solid starting lineup. This is a team that has all the talent in the world, but they've been screwing up. They've been making uncharacteristic mistakes, and they seem to be a few lucky bounces away from not winning some of those games. Mm-hmm. That's not the team we're seeing now. We're seeing a dominant team that if they can continue to play like this, yeah, I think we're definitely a top four team in the MLS, and we can prove it down the stretch here.
You mentioned De La Vega. That goes into Dan the Bastard's question. If De La Vega can't play into next year, what then? Or does it even matter since we have Rothrock? It does matter. And I don't... Can't play into next year.
He's coming back in the next couple matches. Like, yeah. They just won't rush him back if Rothrock's playing this well.
That's true. And I guess I feel like I'm more concerned with him being... at this point, do you even try to make him 90 minutes match fit? And maybe he is just... I mean, it would suck because he's a lot of money and we were really excited to see him play, but it's August 13th when we're recording this and we haven't seen him play more than a 45-minute stretch all season.
I think he played 60 once, didn't he?
Maybe. And if he did, yeah, it's once. I haven't looked any of that up. This is just...
I mean, I think they were slowly bringing him back. As long...
But then he got hurt.
His injury... It was... He didn't... This is like preventing him from getting... I think he could step on the field and play right this moment. The reason that they're not playing right now is that him right now is they don't want it to get worse, right? This isn't like a tear. This is a... Oh, I stepped weird and it's uncomfortable and I don't want to make it worse. He'll be back. It's just a question of, do you want to rock the lineup? There's no question about will he be until next year. He'll be back by the time we're in regular season play again. He'll be back probably for the US Open Cup match. Now, because of that, I think you definitely have to use him because our players are going to be tired. I think someone said that we were going to play four games in 7 days if they didn't shift something.
Gross.
So obviously they need to shift stuff because that would be absurd.
Yeah, no, that would be.
Because that can't happen. So I know they already moved the U.S. Open Cup match from the 27th back to the 28th. And so I think they originally thought this game was going to be Friday this weekend, but it's on Saturday, thankfully.
I'm surprised, actually, that he had three games that close together, and then, which makes sense, we're in a tournament.
It'll just keep going. Terrible. Yeah, luckily we are the 11 seed, which is why we will be hosting LAFC. I haven't looked at the bracket yet moving forward, and I will do that.
I think we host everything on our side of the bracket until the final, and that could be
till the final,
because I think that's what I recall hearing. Like, we are the highest seed in our side of the bracket, but there are higher seeds on the other side. And the seed, isn't that like based off of where you finished in your season last year?
Last year, yes, yeah. Which is why we're above LAFC. But because they had a little struggle bus for part of it.
What if it was, I guess then if Emekis is playing at a different time of year. But it would be kind of like a race to get the best, like make the first half of the season a little more exciting. Your seeding is based off of how you finished once the tournament started. Anyway.
If we were to advance, we would play the winner of America versus Colorado. And I'm not sure. I think we would not host America, but I don't know that. They should be a higher seed than us.
But where would they be hosting us?
Some American city.
Just not ours?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Maybe they're the hosts at our home. I have no idea. This tournament's crazy, y'all.
It should be.
Because even though we finished second in our group, because we were higher seeded going into it, we got to host the first place team from the other group.
Yeah. It's crazy, y'all.
So, yeah, this would be who we would play going forward. If we won, we would then, of course, like I said, go on to play the winner of America versus Colorado, since St. Louis just got knocked out by them. And then for the final, we would play the winner of Philadelphia, Mazatlan, either Philadelphia, Mazatlan, New York City, or Columbus. We'll say one of those four teams.
Well, Columbus, interesting route. Like, they'd be pretty scary.
Yeah, they are good. So we'll be forced to reckon with. What else we got in the...
Eric 13. Is this Andrew Thomas's tournament, or does Stefan Fry come back if the team makes the final? So he's talking just League's Cup. So you think if we get to the final, Steph is in goal?
Steph was going to start this game, and Schmetzer changed his mind last minute. The only reason I think he then now carries Andy Thomas over to the next game is because he got that clean sheet. So if he's getting clean sheets, maybe that's the case. But very well, we could just see Steph starting the next game. Schmetzer said as much that he was supposed to start Steph, and he changed his mind.
That'd be frustrating.
I mean, that's the life of a backup keeper, right?
No, I meant even for Fry there. It's like, you change your mind just like after you've told me. Like, that'd be...
Oh, I don't know if he told him.
Well, he knows now. It's like, whether I find out before or after is still going to irk me.
I don't think he would have found out if we had lost the game, because Schmetzer probably doesn't say that out loud.
That's true. That's true. So that's the Discord. Do you have anything before I reference this article?
Not really. I mean, we saw a player leave... get cut from Portland, and then we see a lot of players coming into the league. New England just got Nigerian Hassan Yusuf. Charlotte's looking at trying to get a Tottenham player, Giovanni Lo Celso, and there's some other big signings coming in, but nothing for us yet. And I just think, based on our money situation, we probably won't see anything.
Yeah, I don't expect anything. I want something, but I understand who our club is and what they do. Wait, it's the 13th, though. I thought
I think two more days.
Two more days?
Is when roster locks.
Okay.
Windows closed, but they could make So you have to get the paperwork in by a certain time. So 8:15 is
the end of it. Did Giroux play in the LAFC?
That's a good question. Giroux.
And
of course, LA Galaxy are signing Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah.
So we're seeing lots. Yeah, it would have been exciting. So we're seeing lots of cool signings by other teams. But in some ways, it's FOMO. In other ways, there's a lot of Sounders fans that are quite upset about it. And I think they are hoping that we'll do something. I don't think it's realistic. They go, I understand the stuff with the cap, but... And I'm like, there's no but here. You're mad that we haven't made signings in the past. That doesn't change that we can't sign anyone now. There's no MLS credit card. Right. Unless we can get those rules changed. So it looks like goals were from LAFC goals were from Bogus, Buanga, and Oliveira. And we did not see Giroud, from what I can tell. Unless so he did. He subbed on.
I was going to be like, is he going to debut at Lumine en Seattle?
Yeah, no, he played. He played. He got some minutes in there, subbing in with his number 9 jersey. Was it a late sub?
There wasn't somebody who didn't already have number 9?
I'm sure he paid somebody to get it, gave up some pretty good stuff. So he came in the 71st minute. So he got 20 minutes out of it.
Didn't score. Loser. Washed up. Washed up. Soggy baguette. All right. Well, excited to see him on Saturday. So I will link this in the show description. MLS Soccer had an article, 22 under 22. So rising stars. Which, there were 2 of them that were Sounders. And it was actually, I read like the first like 3 or 4 players or so, and I skimmed the other players that weren't Sounders. I was looking for Sounders to see how many. There were 2. Which 2 do you think they were?
So is this players who are U22s, or is this players who are under 22?
I should just open up and give this guy some credit, huh?
Matthew Doyle.
Yeah,
who I believe earlier. Used to cover the Sounders, yes?
Yeah, it sounds right. This is presented by Body Armor. So, no, this is just, he's ranking 22, the top 22 under 22-year-olds.
Okay,
and cool. And number one of the reasons is 4 biggest reasons why this is the case. The under 22 initiative makes it smart from a roster constructive perspective to get young, high-level contributors into the team by virtually any means necessary. So, for example, his first one is Diego Gomez of Inter Miami, and he ranks it like between 1 and 2 at the top. So, yada, yada, yada. Who do you think are the 2 Sounders?
First, number one has to be Obed Vargas.
Ding, 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 ding. What do we have for him, Johnny?
Yay. Rothrock's too old. Leo's too old, even though he is in the U22 position, and that's what they were talking about, putting these players in. He's about to age out. So I would think it would... This is a tough one. I don't know if Danny Leyva is older than that now. I would say Josh Atencio then had to be the other one.
Reed Baker Whiting. This is what he says. And this is interesting because for the Obed entry, he included.
And Josh is 22 right now. He's not under 22. So I don't know if he can be.
But remember, this doesn't have to be one of the players in the under 22 initiative. He's just saying why. The body armor.
Sure.
Why the age is?
But he's 22 players under 22. He's. I'm just saying he's not under 22. He is 22, so he's not eligible for this list.
Copy that. Okay. So yeah. So Obed, he shares a tweet of Obed's assist to Jordan Morris against Dallas, the game winner. Right.
Yeah.
Threaded right down the gut. And for this one, he has from Football Reference, like his percentile stash. Sorry, I got Rainier burps. Anyway, so Reed Baker Whiting, a ball progression monster who's figured out the defensive side of the game and quite honestly should be starting. And then he shows this chart, and he's in the 93rd percentile for progressive carries. So dribbling forward, I believe is what that means. Successful take-ons, he's in the 96th percentile. Blocks, he's in the 99th percentile. Tackles, 94th percentile. Progressive passes received... 89th percentile. So he's busting down the line and receiving passes, which I test actually when you I am very impressed with Reed Baker Whiting this year in a defensive position. And he's had a few I'm a kid moments.
Yeah, I think we focus on those gaps.
Yeah, I seeing this reminds me, it's like actually the eye test has always been, wow, okay, you go, guy. 99th percentile in blocks. Like, he's played. Minutes played. If I'm reading, player compared to positional peers in men's next 14 competitions over the last 365 days based on 925 minutes played.
So this is an interesting thing because the eye test says in a few instances that he was overmatched while he was out there, like just watching him play. So it's fascinating that when you break, because the stats tend to say the opposite about Nuhu. Which is very interesting because we focus, we talk about him a lot and the fans talk about him a lot, where you think about, okay, Reed Baker-Whiting, and I actually think Reed's better on the right than the left, but whatever. Reed Baker-Whiting on tackles, 94th percentile, you said, right? Nuhu's in the 25th percentile. Yeah. Interceptions, oh yeah, Reed's a little lower. He's at 67. Nuhu's at 51. Blocks, 99th percentile for Reed. It's 58 for Nuhu. And then Ariel's one. They're about even. It's slight edge to Reed Baker-Whiting, 77 to 73. The only place where we see Nuhu really shine, and actually this makes sense when you think about it and you watch him play, is clearances. He's at 92, the 92nd percentile, and Reed's at the 68th. So that is the only defensive stat where you see him below, where you see Reed below Nuhu. Now, when you look at progressive passes recorded and successful take-ons and progressive carries up and down on every single category with the exception of pass completion, which is much higher for Nuhu, 78% pass completion versus 84. Again, Reed Baker-Whiting is better in every category. Reed Baker-Whiting is significantly better in shot creating actions. Reed Baker-Whiting is significantly better in expected assisted goals. He's better in assists percentage. He's better in shots that are about the same. And non-penalty XG knew who's better because he gets up the field more, but he isn't actually creating shot actions when he gets up the field. It's the interesting thing. Like I said, he's in an offensive black hole. He's getting the ball somewhere.
He did trigger, again in the last match. Not this 4-0, but in the one
the previous. LA.
Yeah, he did. He played pretty well in that match, and not so bad in this one either.
Yeah, but one of his better matches.
But looking at the stats here, Reed's the winner there, which is very interesting. Yeah. He says, if this kid stays healthy, the Sounders will almost certainly be fielding major offers for him by next summer at the latest, especially considering how two-footed he is. Just going towards your...
I would be surprised about that, though. I think that the Sounders are going to lock him down in a U-22 position and attempt to keep him with the club as a player they see as vital to the future of our club.
I like that. I like that a lot.
If someone wants to overpay for him, sure, but... I'm really impressed with the fact that he's on here, and these stats are kind of eye-opening because I know he can be great. We've seen him play well on the right mid. We've seen him play well in the right back. And left back, we've seen him falter a few times, but I think they've been bad moments rather than bad games, and we as fans get caught on those bad moments.
Yeah, totally. Do you think we'll try to lock down Obed?
No. I think Obed's ceiling is so high that they are going to, it has to be the right offer. I think Brian has said for several years now, at least two, we're enjoying Obed while he's here. That his ceiling is so high that he's going to be gone. I think he only goes to Europe though. I don't think they sell him to a Western Hemisphere, a North American, South American team because they want to see him advance to a higher level. You know, he probably will be starting for the Mexico national team within a couple years would be my guess.
Yeah. I mean, he's been pretty outstanding. I really liked his game in the last two matches.
Yeah. He seems unfortunately, a lot more confident. Because of how good he is and because we have JP and how good the two of them play together, we're not going to see Josh make the field as much as he probably had hoped, because he got that number eight and expected to come in, and he held himself to that standard. I want to play like an eight, meaning I want to be a midfielder who distributes the ball and has a major impact on the game. But he's not. He hasn't been able to get that opportunity because Obed has been like,
Obed said, hold my Capri Sun.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's a really great stat that you brought into this. So all the RBW stats that Matt Doyle brings up, I hadn't thought about it that way. And now I'm like, yeah, that makes sense to me, because that's the way the team talks about Reed Baker-Whiting. When you hear Craig Weibel talk about Reed Baker-Whiting, it's about what he can do and what he's seen him do.
How effective he is.
And what he's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we haven't been able to see it to this level. I think you're right. We could continue to see it grow if he gets those minutes.
Right on, right on. You know what minutes I want to talk about?
What's that?
Those 90-plus minutes from Monday night. 4-0. Sounders over Kitty Cats.
Meow. 4-0. Sounders come away with the victory, absolutely trouncing Pumas in a game that was back and forth. I don't know if the score accurately reflects the excitement level of that game. The atmosphere in that game was phenomenal. The way the players played, especially once that play happened that you mentioned, where Christian got kicked and got fiery. Players came together in this game. Now, they may have been coming together to fight the other team, but you saw Reagan and other players standing up for each other in a way that maybe you didn't see before. Paul Rothrock and another player got into it. Jordan Morris got into it.
Dude.
I mean, when Schmetzer was talking,
Paul Rothrock, dude, like, he is becoming that if he was on another team, we wouldn't like him kind of character.
Oh, for sure.
Right? They, after Jordan got the Dogzo stepped on, which was a lot worse than it seemed live, in live action.
Yeah. They actually didn't call Dogzo, because the replay, they gave him a second yellow rather than a straight red.
I know.
Which is silly.
Yeah. Either way, good
reason. But it was Dogzo.
Yeah. But it looked a lot worse in the replay. And he got, oof, obviously it was fine, but like, that's happened to me so many times, both playing pub league, but also in like just basketball, just getting stepped on and with cleats. Yeah. Yikes. But
so why don't we start
Paul Rothrock got decked right after that. Did you see that?
Yeah.
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 They don't like him.
And Reagan came and grabbed two of their players by the scruff of their necks and pulled them away.
I love that. Like, we have Yamar and Reagan when a scuffle breaks out. And I just wish the Mariners were just this physical. But yeah,
We had Jesse Winker, we were. But yeah, it was a fascinating game. So we'll start there, because I think that is one of we're going backwards then, but it's one of, we'll say, five crucial points in this game. We'll say six. We'll count the offsides. And we'll start from the backwards by going, Sounders went up 4-0 on a penalty kick that Jordan took, his first ever penalty for the Sounders, and he made it.
Now, it was his first one. How about that? And it was a good one.
Yep.
Going right.
And luckily, Rusnak was not on the field, so there wasn't going to be an argument. No one was taking that ball away from Jordan. I don't think he would have anyways. Yeah. But that was an awful tackle. I mean, to step on his ankle from behind, especially a player who's been through those kind of injuries. Mm-hmm. Jordan spoke to it post-match and said, you know, my big issue was, look at the score. Like, why are you doing things that could hurt people? Now, the corollary to that is, why are we trying to score when we're up 3-0? But what do you want us to do, not play? It was an easy breakaway.
He can score. It was a breakaway.
Yeah.
And
so he gets taken down from behind. They immediately come in, give the yellow, which was the second yellow, and follow with the red card. I think ultimately it could have been changed to a straight red, but it's a tournament, so they're knocked out anyway, so it won't really matter. that scuffle, though, that ensues, and we see tons of shoving. We see them go after Rothrock. We see them go after RBW. We see Reagan get in there and just say nope.
Yeah.
it was pretty phenomenal. And it's really fascinating to see Schmetzer talk about it, because he had a little smile on his face and was just like, I like watching them stand up for themselves.
Yeah. And, you know, in the 80s when Schmetzer was playing, I'm sure it was a little more rough. There was a little more scuffles mm-hmm. than we see nowadays.
And they, of course, took down Andy Thomas.
All right, now that we're on our on the correct floor and everything's working, we'll get off this sexy elevator ride. Sorry for that. I don't know. We don't remember what we were talking about other than this match.
Hey, we were talking about Jordan Morris, baby. Oh, Andy Thomas at some point got fouled and we sit up. And Schmetzer loves a physical team. And you said that's what the 80s were like. And that's right. We were all brawling back in the 80s. Speaking of the 80s, we also had another penalty kick on an amazing play by Obed Vargas.
Speaking of the 80s?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, he wasn't alive. I don't know.
Okay. Yes, okay.
One wonderful play where we saw a breakaway where Obed basically has a 1-2 into the box and is taken down, swiped on the outside by the leg, pulled down on the shoulder. Just a brilliant run by Obed to kind of not cap, because there was still, you know, quite some time left as we're on the third goal at this point. We're up 2-0. But just a fabulous run by Obed that leads directly to a penalty kick. So impressive. And just kind of, for me, signifies everything that he's done this season and the advancement he's made in his game, that he can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Of course, Rusnak nails it and puts us up 3-0. So he had a goal and assist overall in this game, which
at that point a goal and 2 assists.
Yeah. Continues to dominate, continues to be probably the best player on the Seattle Sounders.
Hell yeah. No, I'm loving that, because I've always said about Rusnak is that his technical ability, like the ball sticks to his foot. He can flip his hips in a half a second, and he tends to try shit more than anyone else on the mm-hmm. field, right? That's more, you know, unconventional moves. And therefore, he's going to turn over the ball sometimes, and that can be kind of glaring. But it is kind of the right decision. It's just a high degree of difficulty on some of the stuff he does. But then other times when he's just outright playing, and he's easily moves the ball smoother through the midfield than anyone on the field sometimes. So I love that the stats are showing it. I'm glad that, you know, I was stoked when he came to the team a couple years ago, and all the conversation, which seems to be 2 seasons old now, of just like, is he worth it? Like,
I don't get how we're still having this conversation. He's proven it.
He runs the engine room. He runs the engine room with JP. Yeah. And it's fantastic. And I love it. And I love seeing Obed play. I think he's just now physically capable of being a little bit more dominant than he was when he was 16 years old. He's 18 now, right?
Yeah.
He's 18 now. He does feel like he's running faster, harder to knock over. Because before, you saw him do some amazing, just like, how did he show up there? That was the right decision. How did he see that? And a turn or something he does like that, he's playing above his age. He's 15, 16 years old. But in terms of getting shoved off the ball or sprinting past anyone, he wasn't there yet. Now his body's there, and mentally he's still grown as well. He's been exciting to watch. So it's like to see all of these things come together here in the middle of the season. And this tournament might have something to do with it as well, to completely kind of shift focus. It's very narrow-minded instead of all this conference table stuff happening. It's like, here's your path. You forge it, you win the whole fucking thing. Right?
Two games away from a final.
Exactly. So to have that kind of focus determination right now, when we've kind of needed that, I feel like we've kind of been just wandering the sea of MLS matches and only recently have been kind of stringing things together. But that felt more like we found debris in the sea. We're putting it together. Now we have a raft. Like, we're floating. We're above water now. Wow, was that a good
now
analogy?
The engine on the
was
boat.
That a good
it
analogy?
Is,
because, fuck yeah.
Because now they've put the engine on the boat, and the boat is flying.
Mm-hmm.
That was, of course, in the 71st
nautical
minute.
Analogies. There we go. I'm going to have another beer.
Before that, though, we had Jordan Morris in the 58th minute, so we trio of goals in the second half here, with a left-footed goal.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, and the ball never fucking touched the ground for, like, five passes.
What a fantastic play.
Hold on, I just want to say, nautical analogies is the world we're living in. Jamiroquai.
Of course, throw-in from Rusnak gets hit back. Oh, no, it wasn't Rusnak, excuse me. It was one of the Roldans. Gets hit back by one of the other players. Falls in Rusnak's lap, who then kicks it up to Jordan. Kicks
no,
it
dude.
Forward. I just his head. It was
no
with his
feet
head.
Were involved in this entire
yeah.
sequence.
Heads it to Jordan,
exactly.
which who then chests
it down
forward
to his left foot.
To his left foot, and then hits it in, and just doesn't
ball.
Even need to celebrate because he is so. It's just like, I'm that guy. Now Christian was, I believe it was Christian was offsides in that play, and they wanted that call, but he had taken himself out. He had stopped. He put his hands up like this and was slowly walking back onside while that hole happened. No player reacted to him, so there's no way you can make that questionable call saying offsides there. So
I didn't even
the review on that, the review, yeah, I watched that. It's kind of interesting, but the review on that was very quick compared to maybe the first goal where they sat there for a little bit longer because they did take away the other goal. So that is our backwards second half where we had just a Jordan Morris, I won't say wonder goal because really the Roldan goal, Alex Roldan goal from the previous game.
Oh my God, we haven't recorded.
That was a beauty.
Dude.
I mean, Nuhu was the only forward or defender that didn't score in that game when we
won
3-1.
Yeah, I know. And that was pretty funny.
That was a lot of fun. I was also not there for the three goals because I was at the Mariners game. And as soon as the Mariners won with a double in the bottom of the ninth where the right fielder dove for the ball, I walked over to the other side and watched the last 30 minutes of the Sounders match.
What a good
I did a little double head. I know. And there was a concert there too that I didn't go to, but it was crazy down there.
Speaking of concerts, I'm going to Foo Fighters.
Oh, it's coming
by
up
myself.
Soon. It's 5 days away, right?
Yep.
Oh, that'll be fun, though. That'll be a brilliant show. I wish I could. I'll look day of at how much tickets are. Maybe I'll come crash your party.
Yeah, I'm on the field. I wanted Pitt, but I just couldn't afford it. And I bought these as soon as they came out. But I'm on, basically where Polanco finds himself when he's on the field. But in those little wedding chair
nice.
Rows.
Nice.
Anyway.
Nice.
Yeah, great match. So great match. Very physical match.
Yeah, let's go to the 31st minute, I think, because when was the Christian play was like 28th minute, I think, where he got kicked, where everything
yep.
changed. So Paul Rothrock, of course, scores a great goal where Rusnak taps it to Joao Paulo, and then who kicks it up to Rusnak on the wing, who just crosses it the way we used to see Alex Roldan do a lot,
mm-hmm.
And Rothrock suddenly gets his inner Chad Marshall there going on, heads
hell
it
of a
off
header.
The bar, and it goes right in. You know, I was surprised it went in. It looked like it was headed out, but for once the header gods were smiling at us. And, of course, Rothrock with a goal that we pretty much expect at this point because he's scoring those goals.
Yeah, that was pretty much the same sentiment on the post-game show with our buddy Jackson. They were saying that, you know, any other match that could be square on the post and come right back out, or the other quarter of the post and go out of bounds, and it happened to hit that. But that doesn't take away from the fact that that's where you're supposed to hit the fucking ball, and when you hit that header,
yeah.
And the fact that he's not the biggest guy against a team that was trying to play physical, I mean, he's kind of a nail bite or a heel biter, and then also scores on you, which cannot feel fucking great. Because usually you just have, it's like Steven Lenhart, right? Where the guy didn't do actually anything fucking productive. He was just a piece of shit. And you hated mm-hmm. him, and he stepped on your goalkeeper's hands. But Paul Rothrock doesn't really play dirty, but he doesn't get out of your chin because he tends to like get in your face, but it's really towards your chin. And he's
a
bulldog.
You can see that.
And I love it.
He's the He's the 74th percentile in tackles for a midfielder against other attacking midfielders and wingers. 77th percentile in blocks and 77th percentile in aerials won. So this dude, along with the being in the 89th percentile of progressive passes received, so he's receiving amazing passes the way he does it, and his non-penalty expected goals being in the 90th percentile based on his minutes.
So he finds himself in the right spot. He,
yeah, he finds himself in the right spot.
And for receiving passes.
Yes. And so he is killing it. Of course, his expected assists are low. He's not playing as...
You can't assist if you score.
Correct. and so he's much lower in that. And he's not creating shot. He's not having shot creating actions because he's the one doing the shooting. So yeah. he has been such a revelation, like we said, this year. And, you know, you asked that question about would we be starting Rothrock? And we had a big discussion around it. A few weeks ago, has your mind changed a little bit on that? Because you were hesitant to think that he needed to be
started. I just I feel like I liked him more on coming off the bench with that kind of energy. I think that's mainly because we found ourselves in positions where we needed to fight those last 15 to 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't quite seeing the fact that.
But when you score three or four goals, you don't need
to. But also, it's not just him. When especially when a match starts and you're feeling each other out, both the opponent, but also you're all human beings that are on your team. Yes, you have your training and everything, and you know where people generally are and where they should be, but you never know if someone woke up on the bad day. Those first 5-10 minutes, you got to shake off that, you know, not rust, yeah. But you know what I mean? They have to, okay, now let's get warmed up. Let's get into the game and get connected here. And
I think we saw that with this game where all the players came out raring to go. And, exactly. And it was rusty in that both teams were making mistakes. And we saw a goal given up that, of course, was called back there in the 12th minute. And the Sounders, I think there's a full discussion. How do you approach this? And they talked about this post-game. The players, and I believe Coach Metzger might have mentioned too, but specifically the boys on the team mentioned this and said there was something about trying to stay like mentally focused, but then when that happens to Christian, suddenly it put us on another level and we were able to channel that anger into shutting them down on the wings, double teaming them on the wings and just stopping everything they were trying to do, mm-hmm. to the point where they looked, even though they kept trying and it was a very fun back and forth game. They had nothing. It was one of the most dominant performances we've seen in a Sounders game from a defensive perspective against a team that is very, very good.
And it wasn't just defensive in the defensive side of the field, it was defense everywhere. It was right. Smothering, absolutely. Like an amoeba. We were just taking over the entire pitch, and they had their moments. But that's soccer; they're going to have your moments. You're going to score a goal, and sometimes shit happens. Like you're offside.
And started the second half until we scored. There was a lull for a little bit where it looked a little worrisome. They had that other shot that they should have scored where the guy leaned back a little bit wide open right in front of the keeper and he just kicked it over the top.
Yeah. And just to actually answer your question, and you mentioned to get it, there's a lull in the beginning of the half. And I didn't really think that Rothrock would be good to start a match with his type of what he brings to the table, his energy and buzzing around. I felt like, especially when we had close matches every fucking week, that was best fit in the last quarter of the match. However, seeing that he can do that for over a half, then yes, start him. So right now, yes, absolutely start him. And he's that productive, but he can run around like that and be that disruptive for over 45 minutes, then that's a starter for me. So
what happens when we get PDLV? You bring him in as a super sub. Imagine
right now as a super sub.
Imagine the insanity, though, with a super sub of that quality.
Yeah.
It's back to that Dempsey super sub. It's going to be fun.
Now, of course, if he's 100% healthy, I'm choosing him over Paul Rothrock. But I'm talking about a solid 100% guarantee that he is not going to get fucking hurt. I'd rather him take 15 minutes be a part of every this whole journey of this year. But if his soft tissue is soaking wet right now and he's getting hurt easily, like, I'd rather just...
I mean, what happened? I mean, I don't think we recorded after. What happened is he lunged for a ball and had a little groin twitch, and he could run.
Yeah, it's not the same injury. It's not the hamstring.
Right. He ran off the field when he subbed off, like, full speed.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure it's precautionary.
It's not the running.
I'm sick of it.
It's the little... It's you just don't want to make that worse, and you easily can, and then it could become a real bad injury. So yeah, I'm glad they sat him. We obviously haven't needed him because now we have two games of a solid lineup that we know who's going to start, and they do well. So we win 4-0, gives us a matchup this Saturday. I think they may have just posted the time I read on Apple TV. So let me pull that up to see if that is the case for our next match. They are listing the quarterfinals matchup. Oh, they're making me go to Lee's Cup Wrap, but I heard it is a 7:30 start.
That's what I heard.
No, this is saying Saturday 5 p.m. start on Apple TV. So that would be interesting. That is a different time than we have been playing. That would be an earlier time. So we will see. We will see. But Saturday evening, it's coming. LAFC, who, as I said, sent us off the field packing last time, destroyed us. Who are you starting in goal? Going back to that question we got. Are you doing Andy Thomas still because he got another game successfully?
I like his distribution. He can throw the ball a quarter mile over those mountains.
Yeah, I will say that is the one area.
And they're accurate.
That's the one area he definitely has over Fry. There's other areas where I think they're similar, and there's some areas where Fry is better. But his distribution as a whole is better because Fry's gotten better, but that's something that he struggled in. Yeah. I don't know if you remember where he was kicking it out of bounds and missing wide open players, and that was years ago now. But yeah, so you're going Andy all the way, or just play it as it goes.
If I were to have them in my office, because I have an office that they would come sit in, I would say as it goes. But if he has one more two sequential shutouts, no, I'll give him this tournament. To answer that question, what I think, given this damn tournament, I think he deserves it. That was just full dominance by the entire team, and a lot of that stems from your back line, and which is the communications through your goalkeeper. And so he did a great job with that. And the match before, our defense is scoring goals. So, I just don't want to see a change right there. And at least you can create a line of delineation in that conversation between the two of them that this is your tournament. And I think that's his audition for next year. And then you give Stefan Fry swan song, who's still fully capable to get clean sheets for us right now as well. But it's pretty clear. I think we've talked about it, that Stefan Fry is on his way, either retired or out. I would feel like probably retired. He loves living here on Bainbridge.
I think he does have one more year in him, so we'll see what happens. Maybe Andy Thomas is pushing it.
If we win the MLS Cup and he has a couple amazing saves, he might say, "I'll take a back seat for the year," and help Andrew Thomas. And that wouldn't that be a perfect way to kind of retire?
Yeah, or just retire on top.
Or just retire on top. Yeah,
but go out a champ. I'm good with that. I think you have it right. Let's have that be the storyline.
Give him the cup, the league's cup.
From the Ziggy line to the cup line.
Has been like that actually.
2024 Sounders.
Seriously, fuck.
So you think we're
talking about the Ziggy line, and now it's I'm not even concerned about us not performing well in the playoffs. But
right. So we have two wins to get to the final here. We got to beat LAFC, and then we got to beat the winner of Colorado America. Colorado has been playing well, though, as they've knocked off two straight. I think they beat Juarez. They came from behind late to beat Juarez in penalties, if I recall correctly. And then they beat Toluca of course. And then in the group stages, they had some, I think they had some pretty wild, got to go over here to the west for Colorado, where they finished second in their group with one loss and one tie. But I think in that tie that they went through
let's on be penalties. Real. If we beat LAFC, I don't.
You think we're good
if
sailing?
If we can dominate Pumas, if we can beat LAFC, we are top three or four in the league. We should be expected to we should expect our club to win every match.
Right. And at that point, you've beaten – at that point, you've beaten – in this tournament, you've beaten the first-place team in the MLS West, Western Conference, the second-place team in the MLS Western Conference, the second-place team in Liga MX, and then maybe in the final, you have to play the first-place team. Who knows? Or yeah. I think America's – are they first right now? You might – it depends on if you go from last season or this season that's just started. Regardless it's going to be an interesting run here. What do you have as our final score there against LAFC? You think it's another?
I think this will be a 3-2 Sounders win.
Well,
yeah, or penalties, or penalties. But I want I don't want it to go to penalties without extra time.
That would be feel rough,
a little anxious. But I think it'll be 3-2. I think it'll be pretty exciting. Giroud, though, I feel like those LA fucking teams when they ever get these big name motherfucking players, they always do something and they have a match, right? Like Zlatan and stuff. But I think Giroud probably does something Giroud-y. I don't think we'll see another shutout. They're too good. But I think we are up there. And I think this is a litmus. We said this last episode, I think, but litmus test. Here's another one, right? This is after that performance, can you do it again? Can you show that kind of fight again? It doesn't have to be the same result, but that same grit and determination and cohesiveness. Can you do it again? I'd like to see it. I'd like to see the same lineup.
Yeah, that'd be great. A week apart, and
no
and,
reason not to. Everyone got out healthy, right?
Yeah, and then after that, of course, week and a half later, we play them again in the U.S. Open Cup.
I know.
So we are going to see a lot of LAFC here. And it's going to be interesting. Yeah, a lot of Los Angeles. Luckily, I believe we do not have to play them again in the regular season in the MLS. So
until the playoffs.
In the regular season.
Potentially,
being the operative word or their or phrase regular season. So of course, we do still have tough matches left. We play Minnesota, who, of course, we dispatched in the first round or first game in the group stage of this. Portland, Columbus, Sporting KC, San Jose, Houston, Colorado, Vancouver, and Portland again. So it's going to be a wild ride, including September 18th. The winner wins the Heritage Cup. So all the Sounders have to do is win that game or tie two or lose, or I guess we lost the first game, so they have to win 2-1 or greater, and then we win the Heritage
Cup. So we could win five cups this year.
Yeah,
Cascadia, totally. Heritage, leagues, Open, and MLS.
Yeah, and Supporter Shield is still technically available,
but it's not a cup.
No, it's but I mean, I think it counts. It still counts, though, in that.
You know what counts? Everything counts in large amounts. You know what I need large amounts of? Sleep. Because I am a father of two, and one of them is crying right now. At perfect time for us to pull into port.
I think James would be happy to take it away after we hear, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on X at Aaron Lingley, AaronLingley. And also on our Discord. And if you want to support the show, just because we are just two dudes doing an awesome show and paying for it ourselves. $1.74 on our Patreon just to be in our supporter
section. That's $1.74.
Yes, because we can't go any cheaper. I just wanted to put $1.74 in there.
Of course, you can find me at Legal Minded Punk wherever you find yourself on the internet.
Yeah, just Google it. Just Google it, and then there it's camera.
Yeah, it's me. Ta-da!
In some of them, in some of those profiles, you don't have clothes on.
Ooh. No, that's not true.
You're not on Adult Friend Finder anymore? Because you always used to say you're also on there.
I'm not. I never was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's getting dirty. Let's get off the boat. Let's get off the poop deck. James, take us away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.